Our friend Casey, that we mentioned earlier, has never seen Empire or Jedi.
What?
No. I know. I nearly banished her.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity. Peculiarity. Irregularity. Inconsistency. Incongruity. A rarity.
Hello, and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, and by Gabthar's hammer, by the sons of Worvan, you shall be avenged, because I am an anomaly.
My name is Angela, and I'm the plucky comic relief, and I am an anomaly.
Welcome!
Welcome!
As you might have noticed, this is not our social experiment to find out whether Aaron would watch Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We have to schedule that still.
Yes.
We had a little conflict.
She's still open to it. We just have been real busy.
Yes.
So
we hope this is a good substitute for that, which will be coming down the pike. So
what are we going to do today?
We're going to be discussing Galaxy Quest. Because you saw it on, what was it, HBO the other day?
And, yeah, I just was flipping channels,
like,
and
talk
it was
about
on
that.
HBO, and I was hanging out with the baby, so a lot of times I do nothing but watch TV, and there it was, and it was so funny and so awesome, and there's so much to talk about that I figured that it would be a good podcast topic, so that's what we're going to do.
Cool.
I don't know if we have any TV to talk about today.
That's okay. We could talk about email instead.
Okay, so in place of our TV segment, we will do an email segment in just a moment. I do have one thing real quick, though. This has nothing to do with Anomaly, but I have a public service announcement. Does everybody want to hear it? Not that you
have a choice. We also have to tell them about our Lucine Ethel moment.
Oh, okay. Should that be an end of the podcast? Well, we'll do it now.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want anything from somebody that works in an office 9-to-5, do not by any means
ruin Angela's day.
Call them at 4:55 on a Friday.
Bad idea.
Do not call. In fact, not even unless the person happens to work at a very late night club, do not call them after 4:55. Or don't call them at 4:55. I wouldn't even say 4:30. I would say even 4:30 unless you know that it's only going to take 5 minutes, don't call them at 4:30. But if you have something that's going to take at least 30 to 45 minutes to figure out, do not call them at 4:55 on a Friday night.
Especially if they're podcast hosts.
Especially if they're podcast hosts.
And they have a podcast episode to record.
Or a sweet little baby to come home to.
That's right.
I almost told that guy that. I'm like, I'm sorry, I just had a baby that I'd like to go see. I don't really care about your problems. No, that wasn't very nice of me. I was very nice to the person, but I'm just having to say, please, public service announcement.
Just
don't call anybody in an office at 4:55 on a Friday.
Right.
Okay. I'm done with that.
Lucine Ethel.
You tell it. I think it's funnier from your perspective.
Okay. I clocked out for lunch the other day, and it was yesterday, right?
Yes.
It's pouring down rain because we are in Texas, and Dolly hit the coast, the Gulf Coast. We did get bands from that hurricane, and it was pouring.
Yes.
Angela left like 15 minutes before me, and the phone rang, and I answered it, and it was Angela, and she goes, "Hi, friend. What are you doing?" I said, I'm having lunch. And she says, "I locked my keys in the—" I thought you said you locked your keys in your car. Something like that.
Kind of.
"And I'm at Subway, and I had to walk to my nail appointment across the street in the pouring rain. Can you bring me a clean shirt?" Where we work, we keep uniforms. We don't have to wear uniforms because we're corporate, but the
other people
that people that work outside, they have to wear uniforms.
And we sometimes wear uniforms.
Sometimes. But anyhow, so she asked me to bring her a clean, dry shirt so she can change into it at the nail salon and then give her a ride to Subway so she could proceed to crawl through the trunk of her car into the front seat so she can unlock the doors.
Yes.
So, yeah, I went over there. I grabbed her umbrella because she conveniently forgot that. And it was right by your desk. The funny thing is you have two umbrellas.
I do.
So we took it. I took it over to the nail salon and had to wait for her to dry her nails because they were finished. They were just not dry yet. And then we got into the car. We went to Subway. And I got out. It was really funny because this umbrella is ginormous. It's like a beach umbrella. And I could barely get it out or into my car without stabbing her in the passenger seat with it. So I get it out. I'm holding it over her head. She's unlocking her trunk. And there's a street right behind us. Just so happens there's a street light, too, at this intersection. And it's red. The light is red. And these people are probably watching you do this. We pop the trunk. It's full of hoop skirts because Angela runs a theater company and does costuming. So the trunk is full of hoop skirts.
Yeah.
And she hands me this big duffel bag because your father-in-law thinks...
I'm going to get caught in a blizzard.
Yes.
In Texas.
Right. So it's loaded with jumper cables and all this stuff. I have to hold that and the umbrella while she climbs into the trunk, squishes the hoop skirts down, kicks down the seat, and her feet are sticking out of the trunk. The back of the car is bouncing upside down. Her feet are moving up and down. And
I have to do like a military crawl because my feet, I can't bend them enough to like push off anything. So I'm literally crawling like...
Yeah, commando style.
Like commando, or I don't know.
And she's giggling. Style, right? You're giggling the whole time. And luckily, the car seat that you have, the back seat, was on the left side instead of the right where you can kick the seat down. So anyway, she did get into the car.
I do like my Saturn because it has that cool feature where you can kick the back seat through.
Yeah.
And the latches are in the trunk. So even if I had it locked, I would be able to unlock it through the trunk. So yeah, but we're getting it fixed right now. The lock mechanism was, and nothing I could do would get me into the car except for popping the trunk. So it was pretty darn hilarious.
David's fixing that for you now, hopefully.
Yes, and David's fixing it for us now.
So
there you go.
That was our geek week.
That wasn't very geeky, but...
No, it was funny, though.
It was very funny. All right. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and
move on to email. So first of all, before we start our email, I'd like to give a shout out to the host of Heroes of Science Fiction and Fantasy podcast is available on iTunes. Thank you very much, Doc, for mentioning our podcast in your latest episode. And if you guys enjoy comic books like Angela does and you like conventions and costuming clubs like the 501st, go check out Heroes of Science Fiction and Fantasy. It's a great podcast. And then the next thing I'd like to do is thank Casey, a listener of ours who blogged about us recently, twice. Thank you very much. If you want to go to her blog, it is
kcgeekchic@blogspot.com. No, don't at. kcgeekchic@. Why am I saying at? Tell me to stop. kcgeekchic.blogspot.com.
Yes. We have a blog also.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's anomalypodcast@blogspot. I'd said at too.
See?
Why do they have a dot instead of an at?
It's, because
it's not an email address. That's right. It's anomalypodcast.blogspot.com. And we do all of our show notes there.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue. Oh, it's my turn.
Yes.
Boy.
We're really on top
we're
of
off.
It today.
So anyhow, it seems that our last episode was pretty popular, the Firefly episode.
Oh, really?
And anytime we get something wrong, lots of emails come in.
Great.
Which is still good because that means people are listening. So we got something from Kenny telling us that there are other medium that you can read about the Firefly.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Serenity. Yes.
Yes, we have them.
And then we got something
from... But they're in between. They're not after the movie. They're in between the TV show and the movie.
Gotcha.
When I was talking about it, I was talking about things after.
Right.
Like learning or some of the backstory that we haven't gotten yet.
Right.
So.
He also is on your side as far as whether it's Zoe or Zoe. He says Zoe.
Okay.
It's spelled Zoe. Maybe that's where I'm getting it.
Spelled Zoe. Everybody, let's agree to disagree. Fair enough?
Let's move on.
Fair enough.
And also, thank you to Chris. He sent us a link. It has images of the ships in the Battlestar segment that we were talking about.
Where oh, cool.
He says, hi, ladies. I found a site that has screen grabs for the BSG episode that shows the Enterprise. Also, when you scroll, you see that they put the Falcon in First Contact and several other Trek ships in Firefly. He also wants us to do an episode on the inconsistencies in Star Trek and Star Wars.
Oh. Can't we do one on Battlestar? That would be much easier.
Okay.
I was making a joke.
All right.
You're supposed to laugh.
I'm laughing. And then we also had an email from Desi, who says, "Hey, girlfriends. Thanks to you two, I've been watching Firefly on Hulu. Hulu.
Did you read this before?
Yes, I did. I don't know how that's pronounced. H-U-L-U. Hulu.
Okay.
During my morning exercise routine. It's new to me, but Hulu has all of season one, so I'm shiny.
Yay.
We're glad we can inspire you to watch Firefly. Everyone should be inspired to watch Firefly.
Yes, because it's a really great show. And we know that it's gone, but, you know, we can enjoy what we do have.
Yes.
So that's good. And am I supposed to read this too?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. This is an email from Casey. Hey, Angela and Jen, it's Casey. I will warn you now that this is going to be a very Joss Whedon-focused email because the podcast was about Firefly. And now I have little Whedons doing Numfar Dance of Joy in my head. Everyone who is a Buffy fan knows, or Buffy or Angel fan knows exactly what that is. I would do the dance right now. If you put it into YouTube, you can get it. She has the link here, but I'm not going to read it off because y'all know what YouTube leaks look like. So, I am so happy that you two covered Out of Gas from Firefly. It is one of my favorite episodes from the show, and it has been so long since I have seen it that it was good to be reminded of how brilliant that episode was. However, I think it is overshadowed by Objects in Space, yes, the freaky bounty hunter one, because it proves Joss Whedon's genius as a writer and director, and therefore is worth as much attention as it can get. That and River is just kind of awesome in the episode, which she is. And she makes crazy people seem kind of, well, still crazy, but likable nonetheless. By the way, I have to say how funny it is that Angela was compared to Kaylee because that's the character that all of my friends have associated with me. Every single one of them, even though I unintentionally break technological machinery more often than I fix it. And I gotta say, I'm amazed that Buffy hasn't been a main topic yet, after all of the references to various episodes. Personally, I would love to hear a main topic about any episode from Becoming 1 and 2 in the second season to the ever so infamous Once More with Feeling, which is the musical episode. Let me end this very, very Joss Whedon-focused email with a reminder that his new project, Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog, starring Neil Patrick Harris and Nathan Fillion, is coming to computer screens next week on July 15th, or that'll be as of her email. Mm-hmm. Shameless promotion, you betcha, but because I support free entertainment. Can't wait to hear the next podcast. Thank you, Casey.
Thanks.
And I did actually talk to Casey yesterday, but it's hard because doing a Buffy episode would be like doing, or just Star Trek TNG, because mm-hmm. it's the same amount of material that you're covering is seven seasons worth of, let's just talk about TNG.
You have to pick a specific
episode. Where do you
episode?
Start? So we are going to start. I'm going to go about getting Jen interested in Buffy by showing her one of my favorite episodes. And we're going to go from there. So that'll be a podcast to come. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure when we're going to do it, but that'll be a podcast to come. So don't worry, Buffy fans out there, if you're curious what I think of all of my study of Buffy and how Jen is going to react to her first time watching Buffy, then we hope to bring that to you soon. Are we ready to do this thing?
Let's go.
All right. I'm very excited. We're going to talk about Galaxy Quest. Galaxy Quest is a movie, and it was made in 1999, starring Tim Allen, Sigourney Weaver, Alan Rickman, Tony Shalhoub, Sam Rockwell, Robin Sachs, and Justin Long. And it is a spoof, I guess. Is it a spoof?
Yes.
It's a spoof slash real science fiction movie about Star Trek, kind of.
Yeah.
And Star Trek fans.
Definitely.
And it's a fictional TV show called Galaxy Quest, which is basically like Star Trek. And most of you have probably seen it. If you haven't, I would go watch it and then come back and listen to this part of the podcast mm-hmm. because it's more fun that way. I guess there's spoilers.
Yes.
I feel silly for a 9-year-old movie to be saying that there's spoilers. But anyway, so I saw it the other day randomly and I just decided it would be a really good podcast topic because not only does it stand on its own as a fun science fiction movie, but the one thing I think geeks like is self-referential humor. I think we like poke fun at ourselves. I like to poke fun at us. And I think that's what we do. We understand all of those things, but it's still fun to play. It's fun to kind of suspend your disbelief, and that's what being a sci-fi fan is all about, I think.
Yes.
And that movie kind of covers that whole gamut mm-hmm. of what it's like to be, I mean, what we would wish as fans, I guess, to happen.
You get a little verklempt whenever.
I did. I got at the end. I mean, we can skip around because I think, should we give a synopsis real quick? Or as long as it's not as ADD as our synopsis of Firefly.
Okay.
You just watched it too. So
yes.
Basically, they're at the convention and they meet a bunch of kids that like them. The guy, the Kirk character, which is played by Tim Allen.
Mm-hmm.
He's
a showman.
He's just kind of a, you know, he's a drunk and a crazy person. He, you know, just takes all whatever he can get at the thing, takes his money and goes. And he gets contacted by this alien race that he thinks want to hire him, you know, to show up at a party or something to be the guy. And they're going to give him all this money. But instead they transport him, you know, halfway across the galaxy into what looks like his ship from the TV show. And these aliens have been watching our TV and think that they're history. And so they get the whole crew onto the ship, the actual real ship. And they fight some aliens and, you know, everybody wins. And I think the first thing I wanted to talk about was the different characters and how they coincide with other characters in
Star
the
Trek.
Shows that we that we watch. So versus the Tim Allen character, of course, is the Kirk character.
Yeah, I think he does a really good job of imitating Kirk, especially when they're showing supposed scenes from the episode,
right,
which supposedly took place in 1982. He kind of has that Kirk stance in the chair, you know, leaning in the chair.
He's
got his eyes kind of narrowed a little bit.
Uh-huh.
The light's shining on him in a certain way. You know, it's got that Kirk glow about him.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that Tim Allen is the only actor in the main cast that hasn't been on another like geeky show.
Hmm.
Think about it. I mean, he's been on kind of silly shows.
You're right.
But all the other ones, I looked this up, and some of them I knew. But Sigourney Weaver, of course, is in Aliens.
Aliens.
That's a huge
Ghostbusters.
Geek thing. Ghostbusters, of course. And Alan Rickman is in Buffy. I mean, not Buffy. Is in, that's somebody else. Alan Rickman is in Harry Potter.
Yes.
And
wasn't he in Hitchhiker's
so
Guide?
He's in
the robot.
He's the robot. He's the voice of the robot.
Yeah.
Which brings me to Sam Rockwell, who plays the red shirt, quote unquote.
Yes.
Guy is his name. And he's Saffron Beeblebrotz in Hitchhiker's Guide.
Huh.
Robin Sachs, who plays the Saris, the bad guy, the big scary alien guy, is a character on Buffy, the Vampire Slayer. He plays one of Giles' friends/enemies from the past. And Justin Long is everyone's favorite nerd. He's the Mac guy.
He's not a nerd.
Oh, sorry. What
he's
is he?
He's a cool geek.
He's a very cool geek. He's a Gen X, Gen Y geek, something like that. And he's just the every nerd.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays the every nerd in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we know Tony Shalhoub, who is great as Monk. And that's not really geeky, but Monk himself is a geek, so
yes.
I think that makes sense. So anyway, so you have the Tim Allen character, the Sigourney Weaver character, of course, is just like all
Uhura.
Women in sci-fi.
She's basically Uhura.
True, because she's like communications.
Yes.
And this is funny. When her job is basically just to ask the computer what the captain asks the computer and then repeat back what the computer says.
Translation.
And she says, somebody says, that is so annoying. And she says, it's my job. It's stupid, but I'm going to do it. This is my job. Alan Rickman plays the alien character. And nobody can see my little quotes.
Air quotes.
My air quotes. And it's kind of annoying me, so I'm glad you can't see them. Alan Rickman plays the alien character, which is kind of the Spock ish I guess type character.
Spock bones.
Spock and yeah. So because he's the doctor.
Yes.
Right.
Well, the thing that really clued me into the bones character is the fact that at one point one of the aliens that asks them to help him get rid of Saris and his people,
yes,
he says, I always thought of you as a father. And a lot of people have told
DeForest Kelly
that they think of him as a father.
That's cool.
So I think that's probably a little nod.
And that is where I really do tear up at that part. Mm-hmm. And when he tells him the quote, can you do it?
Oh, gosh. By Gabthar's hammer, by the sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you.
That, and the way that the guy reacts, he just has this look on his face. He's so happy because all he wanted was a little bit of attention from this guy. When he heard that, right before he dies, he just has this look of bliss on his face because he knows he's going to be avenged. Makes me so happy in my heart.
You're a little beklempt.
I am a little
beklempt. Let me give you a topic. Footballs, neither a foot nor a ball. Discuss.
Oh, dear. When were we in high school?
Too long ago.
Yeah. So anyway, the other characters, obviously, Justin Long plays the every nerd, and he's responsible for two good things. First of all, at the beginning of the movie, when basically Tim Allen gets to do that almost that famous Kirk skit mm-hmm. from Saturday Night Live where he's like, it's not real, don't you people have lives? And he does the same thing to them and he's like, yeah, right. But anyway, so in in this, and he's like the comic book guy kind of, and that's very funny. And I also like the Sam Rockwell character is hilarious because he screams everything
because he's the red shirt, right?
So he's almost positive he's gonna die. And then they tell, and then the Tony Shalhoub character says, maybe you're not the guy who's going to die. Maybe you're the plucky comic relief. And he's like, really? So he's a little over the top.
Then he gets all Rambo.
Oh, yeah, he does. He does. It's very funny. And he does those little turns all over the place. And yeah, it's very
funny.
With
his giant rifle that looks like the Needler from Halo.
Oh, very good.
What kind of looks like the Needler?
That's smart. So he, of course, is the red shirt. And then the Tony Shalhoub character, who is he? I guess he's Geordi. Is he Geordi?
No, I think he is. Actually, this is where I'm going to warp your mind here.
Okay.
I'm going to say here that Enterprise is a spoof of a spoof.
I don't know that that's really true.
Well,
okay, continue,
the
please.
Reptilians,
okay,
the Zindi reptilians,
okay,
bear a very striking resemblance to the aliens that come to attack the crew
and Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest.
Very interesting.
Very striking resemblance. Would you not agree?
I think there is a striking
and
resemblance.
And also, Travis Merriweather from Enterprise is the helmsman, and in Galaxy Quest, Tommy Weber, who plays Laredo. But he's a kid. He's also kind of like the Wesley Crusher character.
Okay. So when the show ran, he would have been the Wesley Crusher character. But by the time the Galaxy Quest movie happens in the timeline, it's more of the Travis. But Travis, isn't he young too, though?
Yeah, he's pretty young.
In Enterprise, isn't he like really
green? He's not like a kid. He just has that youthful personality.
Right.
Everything is just,
and he's the helmsman.
Yes, he's the helmsman. And that's not, I'm not, you know, the big thing is the reptilians and the Zindis and this alien creature or a group of aliens that attack the Galaxy Quest crew. That's really what I think that they borrowed.
Yeah.
It's almost too uncanny.
Yeah, it is kind of.
The jumpsuit.
But what are
suits.
Some other cliches that they do?
Oh gosh!
Oh, because woman. He gets his shirt taken off,
ripped off,
and then she ends up with, you know, her bra showing at the end.
But the real scene, the scene where they're going after extra Omega-13 on that planet, where all the little
It's not Omega-13. That's their like I want to say dilithium crystals, but
what's
it's
the name
not.
Of? Yeah, it's not the dilithium.
It's
the equivalent to the dilithium crystals. Okay. They're going after the cannibal type little monsters are down on the surface. When they take off without Tim Allen, and he's left there on the surface with that.
Big
he
rock.
Called it up the pig lizard. That scene when they're on the bridge watching it unfold on the surface, it was so much like the Gorn episode where Kirk is fighting the Gorn.
Very
because
good.
They watched it from the bridge.
Yes.
In TOS. Anyhow,
cool.
That one's good. And what else? Well, before we keep going with all the little tie-ins with the television shows, I loved the people at the conventions that were coming over, and they were reciting
Gabthar's
hammer. It's like, it's a sign. And the next one right after him.
Never surrender.
So if you're a non-social geek, you'll need to watch this so you can know how not to approach actors when you go to the Star Trek convention in Vegas.
I bet some of them think it's fun and quirky, though.
I bet they do, but I bet they get a little tired of it also.
True. I guess
not all of them are as funny as you, who can give them an autographed picture of themselves in a German
brochure.
Yes.
Was that what you were saying?
Yeah, I was just going to mention the convention and how silly the fans were at the convention.
Yes.
It's kind of over the top, and you know they're really making fun of us fans.
But the thing is that not far from the truth.
It's not.
No. No.
You have to, you know, take your medicine and realize just how crazy we look to people outside.
Yeah.
Outside the spectrum of fandom.
That's true. Well, see, that's a tie-in kind of to real life and how we react. I like at the end, the sequence... The self-destruct sequence stops at one.
Yes.
Because it always stops at one at the show. Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. And then when they have to go through, it's almost like a video game where they have to go through the mallets.
She's like, I hate this episode.
Like Mario Brothers or something.
Whoever wrote this episode is an idiot. You know, the other thing which was really funny is the rock monster.
Yes.
That reminded me of.
Some of the, I mean, there might be something like that in WoW, but I don't, I haven't.
I know, I saw your husband fighting one in one day while I was waiting for you to come record with me. So
Jim's a level 70, and I'm still a level 40 and 46. But I did just ding 40 with my mage. I'm very excited.
And you're planning to take a screen grab of your mage and put it on the gallery?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing.
You also have to take a picture of little Russ and his
Stormtrooper. He has a storm pooper, but he also has an actual
stormtrooper
jumper. Yeah, little onesie, which is hilarious. And we're going to make sure to keep it clean because even if we have a little girl, she's going to wear it too the next time we have a little one.
So. Well, you'll lend it to me when I have kids too, right?
I will, or we'll get you another one.
Okay. So anyway,
stay on target. What are some of the other cliches?
Thinking...
Time's up. Now that I've been asked to think, I can't.
I know.
And that's how everybody is. Doodaloo, 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 doodaloo,
doodaloo. Can't you think of something?
I passed it to you and my brain just turned off. It went
mine
click.
Did too.
I was saving this for last, but I think we're kind of wrapping up anyway. But my favorite part is he calls Justin Long.
Oh, yeah, we forgot all about that.
This is my favorite part that makes me so happy. He calls Justin Long on the little transceiver or whatever communicator thing. And Justin Long's like, you know, I know that's not real and that, you know, I have life and I understand. And he's like going on and Tillion's like, no. It's okay. It's real. And he just goes, fine, do it.
Well, it's because Tim Allen's character totally reamed him at the convention about how it's just a TV show.
And then how he goes. And this is a perfect thing, and this happens, this is not really anything Buffy, but it is kind of Buffy where how Buffy has to deal with her real life stuff along with going and saving the world again, which is a normal Buffy thing. And the Justin Long's mom is trying to get him to take out the trash, and they're like, it's not turning off. Come on, come in. And they clip to the kid, and he's running out, putting the trash in the trash, and his mom's like, remember the recycling? And he goes back, and he's like, you don't know how important this is, Mom.
The fate of the world is
the fate of the world is in my hands. Yeah. And yeah, so that's pretty funny.
And the scene where he gathers up all the Roman candles and the bottle rockets and things like that to signal to the ship as it's coming in.
Yeah, and he explains to his parents exactly what's going on, and they're like,
in technobabble terms,
well, be back by 7. Lunch is or dinner's at 7.
At least he's going outside, dear.
So, I just think it's a really awesome movie that is really good for geeks and for just sci-fi in general alike, because it kind of brings the two together, and I think it does it very well. I really do like the special effects, and I do like, we were talking about the Robin Sachs character, Saris. I really like the costume. I know that you were comparing it to the reptilians, and the Zindi reptilians, but I think it was a really good costume design from my own personal perspective, that when he gets angry, his little bony wings like fly mm-hmm. up, and I don't know. I found it a really good costume.
Yeah.
And I do like the leader of the aliens.
Mm-hmm. Who... Did we ever find out what those guys are called?
You had to ask me.
Their mannerisms are awesome. I love that. The way they shuffle along.
Uh-huh.
And they walk with their arms kind of up.
And then there's when they're all running away, and they're running away like yes. with their knees really high in the air, and they're all running the same way. That is brilliant. I don't know
it's
who decided on that.
It's because they have some type of what generated image. They don't really look like that. They
right.
look like octopus.
Right.
Or
right.
octopi or something.
So it's basically whatever programmed in for the how mm-hmm. they run. But still, you know, it's real people actually doing it.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's even funnier knowing that these people have been directed to kind of mm-hmm. run that way.
So. And they have their crazy haircuts and their
yes.
faces that are frozen in perpetual joy.
And also
joy.
Another sad part is when the leader finds out that it was just a TV show.
Yeah.
And he says, tell him. And he says, we lied. And he goes, why? And I'm like, oh, no. Poor guy. I just want to give him a hug. But then he wins, so it's okay.
The transporter system is a little more unique than...
Oh, yes, the big bubble.
The big booger bubble.
The booger bubble. And, yeah, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And there's one more thing. Oh, the big cliche is the bad guy always comes back for one
yes.
last. That's
over
the other big
over.
Cliche.
How many times? Three times? They blew him up ooh. Once. He came back onto the ship as a... Maybe four times. No, three times.
Blew him up once, came back on the ship, and then they did the...
Back in time.
The back in time, which is another cliche, is being yeah. able to go back in time to
Balthazar
fix something.
Beats him with his cane.
Yes.
And then at the end, when they crash land at the
convention,
he's alive again, and the commander has to shoot him.
I would say the one over-the-top thing that I kind of didn't like was that I like... that they crash landed in the convention because it made the ending better, but it was too obvious that people had to have died. There's no way no one died
uh-huh.
in the way that they crash landed. And so it's like if they would have crash landed maybe in a field and then stopped in the field right outside,
yeah,
like right by the parking lot so that there were no people. But like the fact that they crash landed and somebody had to have died and all that, I can suspend my disbelief pretty far.
I think it's our line of work that prevents us from getting past that
PR.
Because that's exactly what I was thinking, that
PR issue.
All those people who you know
injured their
arm, the convention would never be able to continue the year after because of all the lawsuits and the negative
it's
publicity.
Like, it's this is so out of left field, but it's kind of like in Holy Grail where he goes and kills everybody at the wedding and he's like, it's my idiom, and he kills everybody, and then he says, this is my new son-in-law, and everybody's like bloody. And he's like, sorry about that. Okay. All right. It's my idiom. All right. Oh, and I got an iPod finally.
Booyah.
That's exciting. Yay.
So now you could listen to
The Anomaly Podcast.
The Anomaly Podcast on an iPod.
Right.
Yeah.
What other, tell me real quick, since we're wrapping up, what other podcasts are you listening to right now?
Well, I was listening to Heroes of Science Fiction and Fantasy, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Treks and Sci-Fi.
Of course.
I always listen to them. Geeks finally came out with another two episodes, which
cool.
is really good. And I'm also listening to I Should Be Writing, and also something about writing science fiction. Michael J. Stackpole does it.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to that. And also listening to quite a few Trek audio dramas.
Cool.
Audio dramas, which are pretty good. Pendant Audio and Darker Projects both do a audio drama. One's called New Frontier, and the other one, I think, is called The Pioneer. I'm not sure. They have a bunch of them. So do a search on iTunes for those two production companies.
Cool. I also was thinking you need to finish that book.
Yes.
We will have a special podcast.
We need to do
a
podcast about it.
With you and Jim.
Yeah.
With and me, if I can either listen to it or get Jim to explain it to me.
I'm
not much for
listening
reading.
I'm reading like, what, three or four books right now. They're not all novels. One of them's a novel and two of them are how-to books.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I'm like a super brain or anything, but I have to read two or three of them at a time or else I'll be super bored. So at the same time, I can't read this other novel that Angela's talking about, which is Snow Crash. Mm-hmm. I had to download the audiobook on iTunes to listen to it. And it's really good, and we'll be doing an episode eventually on that. But before we wrap up, mm-hmm. I would like to thank everybody who has given us an iTunes review.
Yay! Thank you
so much. We are like, we have 5 stars. 10 people have given us iTunes ratings, and we only had one that was a 4-star. The rest of them were 5.
And the 4-star person was very positive.
Yes,
so
very positive.
I can't
Not
complain.
A negative review yet. Good. And we thank you very much. And we also encourage you to please continue doing that, because yes. we want to be like big shots on iTunes.
And tell your friends.
Yes, tell your friends. Blog about us, please, because we have people who are finding us online through blogs.
Yes.
And thank you to Rico for continuing to plug our podcast. And he also has a blog that we are listed on several times that people find us through and
Yay.
On their forums.
Great.
So thank you for every little bit of publicity. We appreciate it very much.
We do. Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you for listening to the Anomaly Podcast. Next time, hopefully be talking to Erin about her first Star Wars experience. Oh, you know, I just remembered.
What?
Our friend Casey, yes. that we mentioned earlier, uh-huh. has never seen Empire or Jedi.
What?
No. I know. I nearly banished her.
She has to turn in her geek card.
I know, right? But she does she does watch Doctor Who, so that's pretty
All
geeky.
All right. Well, she can turn the tables on us on there, because I don't watch Doctor
Who.
Because
we do
Who.
Not watch Doctor Who. So, but I have watched a few episodes, and I am intrigued. So she has agreed to watch Empire. So maybe if we don't get a chance to get Erin to watch Star Wars, we can get Casey to watch Empire. Mm-hmm. So one or the other of those things will happen.
One by one, we are turning... women
geeky
we're not
turning, we're making them realize that they already are geeks.
Speaking of, Everyone remember is. A few podcasts ago I had my mother on, and I
yes.
convinced her to watch Battlestar,
and
she liked everything she watched, and she can't wait for the next, you know, half of the season to
right?
begin. But she listened to our last Firefly episode, and last Christmas I bought my dad the box set of Firefly, which he has not opened, mind you. And he loves science fiction. That's why I love science fiction, because he got me into it.
Right.
And he's also a big Western fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought
that's
for sure.
That's why my mom loves Firefly, because yes, of that reason.
I thought for sure he would like it. He hasn't even opened it. My mother opened it, and she's been watching them.
Yay!
And she likes them.
I'm so proud.
I know.
I am very proud of you. That's great. That's really great. I love it. Okay, well, we're one girl at a time.
Mm-hmm.
One girl at a time, we're turning geeky.
And so, again, we beg you, if you were an anomaly, a socially functional female fangirl, email us and let us know you're listening to the show.
Yes, you can visit our website at anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com. Or you can email us from the website. And you can also email us directly at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com.
You can visit our blog yes. also for show notes, which is anomalypodcast.blogspot.com.
No at.
No at.
And I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
Intro and outro music, as well as the ever popular Television Junkie, was written by Angela's husband and performed by his band. Your feedback encourages us to continue producing Anomaly. Please consider writing about us in a forum, on a blog, and leave us a rating on iTunes, hopefully a positive one. Drop us a line at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com, or via our contact page at anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com. And leave a comment on our latest episodes, or just say hi. And if you're an anomaly or a fellow female fangirl, let us know we're not alone in the world. Anomaly is released on a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 license. Which means you have to have our permission to change it or incorporate it into another work. All rights reserved.